Father God, we desperately want to be people who are going to affect those around us and the world and the community in which we live. But Lord, we don't want to be trickles anymore. Father, we want to move with a force, but only at your bidding. And so, Lord, we ask that as you shower us with your blessing, that would be the means by which we're able to be torrents, to move and touch other people, to remove stagnant areas from people's lives and in this community, and to make them free-flowing and fresh. And Lord, we ask for your shower of blessing upon each and every one of us now. Lord, that we'd be able to replace the trickle of love in our hearts and in our lives with torrents that really will move amongst the people. Father, we want to see your kingdom come. Plan A is that you use us to do that. There is no plan B. And Lord, we ask that you'll make us very significant people in your plan A, that we move amongst the people, that you bring us into contact with day by day and minute by minute, many who we shall only ever see once, and we have one chance to be the torrent that could wash through their life. Father, we ask that your force would be in us and move through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ivan. I'm going to share with you a strange story. Tim asked me to preach this week, and I just said, Lord, what am I going to preach on? And suddenly this story came to mind. It's a weird story, and it's 2 Kings 6. Okay, so, and not preached on this before. I've not heard it preached on before, so we'll see. Okay, so 2 Kings 6. It's verses 1 to 7, and I'll just pray. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we're stirred by your Spirit. Our desire is that you would use us in your kingdom. Lord, would you come and you would work in us and through us, that we might bring glory to your name. Amen. Amen. He says this, 2 Kings 6, the company of the prophet said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole and let us build a place there for us to live. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servant? I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out, it was borrowed. The man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Whoa. I feel like I've got a passage where somebody's given me a passage and they say, preach on that then. Anyway, it stirred me reading this passage through, and so many reasons really. It says here, the company of the prophet said to Elijah, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. I love it, a company of prophets. Wow. Fantastic. What a place to be, yeah? Among a bunch of people that their desire is to seek after and hear God and put it into practice. Amen. Would we like to be a company of prophets? Amen. The Bible says, desire the greater gifts, desire prophecy. A company of prophets. It's too small for us. This is where God is. God's word starts with him and begins, ends with him. It's all about God speaking. It's the beginning and end of everything. As God speaks and creates, and at the end, closes up the end of time by his word. While Israel was in wickedness, and it's now idolatrous, what's the word? I feel like I'm in a lucky dip. Yeah. Idolatrous, that'll do. This school of the prophets was increasing. I found this very encouraging, that church is not necessarily a reflection of society, that the kingdom of God is on the move no matter where society is going. Amen? I found this great. We talked about breaking out, and in a very small way, yesterday I was doing tea for free. It was very hard to set it up. I was carrying all the gear into my van, all the gear out of the van pretty much, setting this thing up. And this man came to me to get a cup of tea. I start to chat to him. He wants to know what the stall's about. I start to talk about the love of God. He starts to say, I need a bit of that. It turns out there is from a Methodist background. It turns out he's on a journey. He said he was seeking. I explained to him the gospel. And he said, that's the bit I'm missing when it came to personal faith. Where do I go? How do I sort that out? God's on the move. God is on the move. All day there were Romanians coming past us from G's, and some of them I knew and I was talking to, and some of them didn't know. And I said to somebody I was working with, I said, hey, what we need here is some Romanian speakers to help us. And she goes, well, that's amazing, because I had a lady in my house who speaks Romanian. And it turned out later in the day she went back and she said, oh, we could have done with you today. There was loads of Romanians there. And she said, you know what happened? Last night in the middle of the night, I was woken up and the voice said, go with her tomorrow. But I didn't go. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, I'm glad you're on the move, but make me obedient. Amen? And I don't want to be critical of that individual, but so often that might happen with me. Yeah? So often that might happen with me. Here he is, Elisha is in the company of prophets. There's a growing bunch of people. They say to Elisha, let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole. I can imagine these are big poles, these building things. These are not wobbly bamboo canes, I don't suppose. These are big poles. Get a pole and let us build a place there for us to meet. They go to the river where there is life, the river where there is growth, and they're going to go to the river. I love this bit. It's a bit like our ark journey, isn't it? Move us on, Lord, because the place we're meeting is too small. And we heard that through prophetic people. Prophetic people stirred this church. God spoke through people to say there's a new agenda, there's a new place, there's a new time coming where you're going to work through this nation, through this church. And I'm so thankful that people were obedient to that, took it up. So they say to Elisha, let us go to the Jordan, each of us, get a pole, and let us build a place for us to meet. And he said, go. He said, go. Wow. I don't know if you're in a situation where God is stirring your heart. God is stirring your heart. He's putting something in it. It's stirring up. And don't wait for more of an invitation. If God is stirring you, go to him and say, what should we do? God is stirring me. And these men were stirred and they went to Elisha and said, this is the plan. What do you think? You put something in our hearts. You're stirring us up. And he says, go. And as we prayed this morning about our exposure outside of church, I believe that for many of us, God is stirring something inside us. Amen? Go and seek him. Go and seek him. See what he says. God, is this of you, or is it just my limited, fickle imagination? If it's of you, I want to go and do it. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? And it reminded me so much of Exodus, where they're there and God is telling them to go. And Moses then said this. He said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and that we are your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish us from me and your people, from all the other people across the face of the earth? So Elisha said to them, oh, yeah, go. And they say, please come with us. Wow. No matter what God calls us to do, he says, if you do it in my spirit, I will always be with you. I'll never forsake you. And there are times, I believe, when God takes things out of our life. He strips stuff out of our lives so we're down to us and him, or me and him, to remind us that our strength is in him. Anybody been through that journey? Where absolutely everything else that you thought was secure and safe is stripped away and it's me and you? Won't you please come with your servants? This is a very short dialogue for Elijah in this story. His part is very short. First of all, they want to build something new. He just says, go. Then they say, would you please come with us? He says, I will. I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. And they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. And as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out, it was borrowed. Wow. It was borrowed. And this is not just somebody knocking up their neighbor and saying, can I borrow your axe for this afternoon? Yeah. This is a shortage of tools in this era. So Israel was always in a difficulty because the nations around them had technology and they could make tools out of metal. Israel, broadly speaking, for many, many years, didn't have that technology. And they were limited in terms of other powers around them, limiting what they could do. So an axe head is a precious thing. And he's borrowed it from somebody else. He's lost the axe head. And it struck me that he cries out, it was borrowed. Cries out to Elijah that it's lost. And I read this and I thought to myself, how we can lose that part of an axe that gives us a cutting edge. And it's flown off the shaft. And it's landed in the murky waters of the Jordan, and it appears lost as it sinks deep into the mud. I've got to ask myself, have I lost my cutting edge? Have I lost my cutting edge? Somebody was sharing here the other week, and it reminded me of this passage. They said, you know, how often it is that we keep cutting, but actually we've lost the head of the axe, it's blunt, or we've lost it, and it doesn't have the effect. But I can keep going. Have I lost a cutting edge? The nice thing about this story is that the guy, when it happens to him, the head comes off, flies into the water, splish, everybody knows that it's happened, and he says, it's me, I've done it, I've lost it. He accepts the responsibility. I read this week. He says, we can point the finger at the preacher, maybe at me, and say, I lost my spiritual edge because the preacher's sermons are boring and I get fed up. Don't put your hands up to that one. I can point the finger at the church and say, I lost my spiritual edge because the church doesn't offer a program that fulfills my needs. We can point the finger at our jobs and say, I lost my spiritual edge because my job takes me away from the church too much. Wow. Some of that might be true. Whose responsibility is it for me to keep my spiritual edge sharp with God? I must say to God, fundamentally, it's about my relationship with you, that axe is sharp and it's used for you. Lord Jesus, don't let me lose that spiritual cutting edge. He cried out. There's a man here, he's cutting trees down, his axe head flies off, and he cries out. He says, "Oh, my Lord, we've lost the axe head." He is in despair. He cries out. I walked for many years with a friend of mine. He's a good guy. He was strong in things of the Spirit, full of God, full of evangelism, and fantastic. And I met with him recently, and a while ago, and he'd lost it, really. And we were eating together, and he starts to swear in casual conversation. And I thought, whoa, where has this gone? Where has this gone? And I don't know if I had a shed full of axes, if I lost an axe and it fell into the water, I might just shrug my shoulders and go, "Hey, that's how things are. I've lost it, but hey, that's how things are." But he doesn't. He cries out, "I've lost it. It's God. Lord, help me." Not a shrug of the shoulders. And he says, "It was borrowed." Wow. And what the passage is saying, the actual story, probably is about this prophetic guy, and he has got this axe, and he's borrowed it from somebody, and he's on this journey, and he's on this construction. But why is it in the Bible? I think it's in the Bible because he says it was borrowed, because everything we have from God is from God. And at the end of time, he will want it back. And he wants to know, with what he's given us, what have we done? With what he's given us, what have we done? Or did the axe head fly off, land in deep water? We shrugged our shoulders and got on with something else. Wow. Lord, I want to be like Ivan, where I can pray, "Lord, I don't want to be happy with trickles and knocking down trees with just the handle. Lord, would you sharpen that axe head? Would you recover that axe head? Would you fit it in place? Would we see amazing things done, Lord, as I'm faithful with what you've given me?" Amen. It was borrowed. The story of the talents is amazing, where Jesus says, there's a man who gave things to his servants, and he wanted to know what they'd done with them. He came back, and those that had been given some stuff, they had returned it. They'd used what God had given them in the kingdom for his purposes. They had kept their axe sharp and had used it in his kingdom for his purposes. But one had buried it. And the story is about burying it, that he put it in the ground, and he comes back to the master, and he'd given God what originally he'd given him. He knew this stuff was on loan, but he'd done nothing with it. I don't know what it is, whether he actually buried this stuff, but I think in my life, I don't necessarily take what God gives me and put it in a hole in the ground and put soil on top of it. It gets buried by other life junk. You understand? So I've done an alphabetical list here of other life junk that gets in the way. And I'm really, one of the things that surprises me when I do this tea for free, I'm sorry to use it as an example, it just struck me yesterday. I'm out at Ely Cathedral talking to people about Jesus, and I meet a lot of Christians. They come up and they go, "Oh, this is really good. You're praying with people. You're sharing Jesus. This is fantastic. I wish we could do this at our church. Oh, I wish I could. Ah, but I'm really busy." Okay. My poor wife is at home with 9 children. I have a house falling apart. I have a full-time job. I help lead a church. But bringing the gospel to the lost is more life-giving than any annual leave I could ever book into my diary. Lord Jesus, would you sharpen the axe? No matter how hard it is moving great barrels of water up and down to tea for free, that when somebody says to them, this is what I need in my life, it counts nothing that I should give my life to serve him. Lord Jesus, put that axe back on the shaft. Hammer it in place. I don't want to ever lose it. What gets in the way? I think I've got talents from God. I have, you have, and sometimes they just get buried, not because I bury them in the ground, because they get buried by life clutter. Here's a list, A to Z. See if any of these apply to you. Some of them might apply to me. Antique collecting, bike riding, childcare, DIY, entertaining, commitment to friends, of serving at the gala, his happiness of my husband or my wife, impala hunting. Hopefully none of you do any impala hunting. Jogging, looking after kittens, making lemon cake, playing Minecraft, newspaper reading, picking organic raspberries, pampering, quilting, reading, swimming, travelling around the world, underwater exploration, vacations, wages, xylophone practice, your career, zoo visiting. These are all okay. They're all okay, but I can fill my diary and my time and my hopes and my dreams and my planning and my aspiration with life junk, and it covers what God has given me. And the axe comes off the shaft, it falls into deep water, and says, I was too busy anyway. Whoa, Lord. The man of God asked, where did it fall? Where did it fall? Where did you last see it? What happened? When I stopped praying, when I stopped reading my Bible, when I saw people were letting me down, when other people gave me more rewards than I got from serving God, when other things came and gave me more praise from the people around me, when it just became hard, when Jesus stripped everything away till it was just me and him, when I stopped hearing your voice, when did it fall? Where did it fall? Oh, Lord, stir me. I think it'd be perfectly possible for this guy to lose the axe head. It falls off. Goes into the water, he doesn't even notice, he keeps hitting the tree and wonder why he doesn't get any results. A few years ago, some of you might remember, Lorna cuts my hair, well, sort of vaguely harvests it, and, sorry darling, and sort of a combine harvester approach, and the sort of vague clip thing that goes on the end that gives you a certain depth of cut. Over the years, it's got shorter, but it comes over my head. And at one stage, I had the flowing locks of grade 4, and my wife was harvesting the hair, economy drive, and the grade indicator fell off. And worst of all, she didn't notice. So suddenly I had a naked, what they call these things? I don't know. Any hairdressers in the audience, congregation? I had a naked strimmer. I don't know what they are. What was it? Clippers. Not strimmer. She's not that bad. So I'm left with the naked, help me again, clippers. And she continued, two strokes up the back of the head. And then suddenly in this back of my hair, I had two clear channels of no hair at all. And do you know what? She hadn't noticed she'd lost it. And do you know, I went to work and I tried to get the rest short, but I just couldn't get it any match. It's still, there was these two white things at the back. And I had to go to a business meeting. It's true. And I dressed up, I had a suit on and everything. And whenever I said anything, it was kind of weird. I didn't work out what it was at the time, but people would turn their heads to one side, smile and nod. I think, sadly, they thought I'd had a brain operation. And this was a sort of incision point or something, I don't know, but... She'd lost it, and she hadn't even noticed, and I was the victim. I've got over it now, you can clearly tell. But actually, there's a point here. He loses it. He cries out to Elisha. We can cry out to God. I've lost it. It was borrowed. It's not mine. I've got to give an account for that. I need it back if I'm going to do a job. Help me. He could have just fallen off and it just shrinks into the mud and disappears. And we don't do anything. We just shrug our shoulders. That's it. Jesus gets the man with a shriveled hand to stretch out his hand to him. So here we have, what do we do? When he showed the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. Lift it out. It's just amazing, this story, isn't it? Because it could have been so easy for Elijah to lift it out and go, there you are. That would have been great. But actually, it took the man who'd lost it to bend down with his feet in the mud and lift into the water and grab it and say, here it is. And with rejoicing, he put it back on again. Wow. We might look at a set of circumstances that these things have happened to me and I've lost the sharpness, I've lost the axe head, I've not got what I had. Lord, would you restore it to me? And he wants us to go down, bend down, pick it up. He's making it flow. Our future isn't predestined by our past. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. This is a change in circumstances where God changes the density of iron for the density of water, and this thing floats to the top and he reaches in and grabs it. With God, all things are possible. With God, there is no time limit. There is no law that says forever when things fall in the muddy Jordan, they're lost forever. I can't see it. It's gone. This is a moving water. I can't see it. Lord, would you call up? Would you restore to me once what you've given me, that I might do things for you that you have kept me alive for? Whether it's one thing or many things, whether it's buried in antiques and bike riding and childcare and DIY and entertaining, and I'll go on and on and on. I kind of loved putting that list together, and I was a bit paranoid about who I knew that rode a bike and who I knew liked organic raspberries, and I'm thinking, hey, could all apply to me? Could all apply to me? Two men competed against each other in a wood cutting contest. One worked feverishly without stopping once for a break, while the other would work for a while, then take a break, work some more, and then take another break. When the contest was over, the man who had worked so hard and took no breaks was amazed that the pile of wood wasn't nearly as large as the other man's. He turned to his competitor and said, how in the world do you cut more wood than me with all those breaks you took? The man said, I wasn't wasting my time while I rested. I took time to sharpen my axe. So, Father God, I pray for each of us. That, Lord, that once you gave us an axe, perhaps many axes, and Lord, if we've lost the head to that axe, We cry out to you, Lord, would you restore it to us, because it was borrowed and I need to give that back with more. Lord, if I buried it, I want to move the clutter out of the way and restore that. Because you tell this man to reach out and grab it. Lord, would you take what you've called on me and what you've given me many years ago, maybe. Lord, that might be restored to me. Oh, Lord, for others, Lord, and for me, when we take a break over this summer, let me not come back and pick up a rusty axe. But Father, would you show me that I might sharpen that axe, that we might see running torrents flowing from our lives that would move boulders. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Enjoy tea, coffee. See me tonight. If you'd like prayer for any of that stuff, then come and see me. We can pray.